We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mike Max joins me for sports this morning. Let's start with this, though, Maxie, from last night. Try this one.
Sano hits this ball a ton. Right center field. It is back near the wall, and it is not coming back. It's a home run that skips into the bullpen and up into the seats. Oh, did that ball jump into the Gulf Stream in right center field. Home run number 22 for Miguel Sano. It's 11-0.
Yeah, just part of the romp for the Twins last night as they had a big win over Texas Rangers. And the bats came alive again.
Well, the key phrase there was right center. I mean, Miguel Sano is starting to use that whole field, or at least more of the field than a big guy like that. You know, the whole thing was you can pitch him off the plate, you can get him to chase, all those things. If he stays a little bit patient and can take that, drive that ball in the outside part of the plate because he's so strong, he can hit home runs to right center, and then he becomes even scarier. And so it looks like that's an adjustment that he's made since he came back, since he's been, you know, he's been all over the map this year, of course, with injuries and whatnot. But it looks like that's an adjustment that he's started to make, at least successfully. And that's huge in his progress. But, yeah, Arias hits a home run to start it. And, yeah, it was just a blow. It was 11-0 at one point in time. I said, this is boring. What happened to my – we're the Twins, man. This is an eighth inning nail biter. What do you know? It was a matter of fact. And, of course, Pineda – he cruised through four innings, and then he labored in the fifth inning, and they let him stay in there. They had the big lead, so let him get the win. And I think that was big for him. He needed to make a statement. He was pretty good. Not great, but pretty good last night. And they just need to know that he's kind of there for them and back of the rotation guy that they can count on a little bit. So Odorizzi tonight, and yeah, it'd be interesting. He's going to have to be. I mean, these guys are just going to have to go to one more level. These pitchers, to when you look at the competition out there, you look at what Cleveland did to the New York Yankees.
Yes.
Last night. Yeah. 19-5, or whatever it was. A couple guys, Ramirez hit a couple home runs. Santana hit a couple home runs. So it ain't going to be easy, but nobody ever said it was.
No, I heard that update, though, during the Twins game. It's like, what is going on here, Cleveland? The Yankees, I think that, you know, that the Yankees will show up again, though. I think that they're not going to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can be pretty rest assured of that.
Yes. I'm sure they weren't.
Well-built team out there.
They weren't happy about that last evening. No, not at all. We mentioned earlier the Little League World Series game did not get played. It was rained out before it got started. And they'll play at noon today. We're talking about Coon Rapids Andover. They'll play at noon today on ESPN. I want to ask you about this one, though, football-wise. You know, the Vikings have a game coming up Sunday night at U.S. Bank Stadium. They've been getting ready for it, working out. But something to watch in the preseason is the way officials and coaches are now going to interpret pass interference calls. I'm sure you're aware of this, right?
Not just aware of it. I had a talk with an NFL official yesterday that the NFL sends they have crews go work to different camps for the teams. So, like the Vikings could have a crew come out and work their game, or you know they fly them all over the country so that these guys know what the rules are. So that during practice, they get a real good look at referees are going to say, hey, this is the way we're going to call it this year. This is the way, you know, you were out of, you did that wrong, et cetera. It's all part of just making the game better because nobody wants to see a highly penalized game. But I had a nice visit with an official or two, and, you know, they said the one that's really going to scare them on this is the Hail Mary. In the end zone, ball up for grabs, there's so much contact. And if you review that play, you know, how many times are you going to see somebody push somebody? And in talking to them, they said that's the one that scares them the most right now. The other ones, it is amazing. They said how much the human eye, you know, you think you didn't hit him before the ball got there, and it did. But that'll be up to review, and they can figure that out. They said they've been fairly pleased with how quickly they've been able to arrive at a decision, et cetera. But the one they said is when they're throwing it in the end zone at the end of the half or the end of the game, that's the one that's kind of most concerned.
Okay. The Lynx are back at home now, and they're, what, one game above 500, I believe? They want to get that ball rolling once again.
Yeah, Washington coming to town. Washington ran up 101 points on them last week. So Mystics are a pretty good team in the league, near the top of the standings, et cetera. So the Lynx came back and played pretty well against New York the other night. Shot the ball really well, at least. So that's what they've been all year, just up and down and up and down. And Mystics have been a little bit better than that. But they did not defend Washington well at all the last time. So I'm sure Cheryl Reeve had some interesting sessions the last couple of days.
Yeah. Yeah. What else you got? What's on your plate? What are you watching today? I'm sure you'll be back out to the Vikings, right?
Yeah, go out to the Vikings again, and they've got another practice. It's been a long week for them because they played on Friday, and then they don't play again until Sunday. And for that's not exactly welcome news for players because that means you practice, then you practice, then you practice, then you practice, then you look at films, then you practice, you look at more films. It gets to be kind of a mundane routine. So I'm going to head out there, and there was nothing yesterday that really grabbed your attention in terms of plays or injuries or anything like that. They're just kind of steady as it goes, and trying to figure it out. We were talking about Treadwell yesterday, and they did tell me yesterday he's had a better camp than they expected coming in, so maybe that's why they think he could be traded or trade bait. So on the inside, they're saying that, you know, he's got some pretty good film, at least from this camp, if they wanted to move him, and I don't know what the value would be on him, but that's one option out there. And the Gophers are the same thing. They're in that same mode of practice, and games still not till August 29th when they play South Dakota State. So they went to the Minnesota United game the other night, and as a team watched them play, and they won. United won 1-0 the other night, and the Gopher football team was there. They took a little break during their training camp.
Ah.
So they seem to be on schedule pretty much too, though.
All right. Well, we will catch up to you just about an hour from now. We'll also maybe get a little preview of the sports huddle coming up on Sunday, Maxie. So thanks for the visit now.
You got it. Thanks, John.
Take care. We'll talk some sports with Mike Max here on WCCL Radio. Maxie will join me. We will talk about the Twins last night and what ultimately ended up being a pretty darn good game. It was just fun to see it. I listened to it on WCCL Radio, especially with the fireworks starting early, Maxie. It didn't take long for the Twins to jump out in front of the Texas Rangers.
It did not. They put that away early. I was saying earlier. I mean, really, it's... if you're vested in the Twins this year, it has been just gut-wrenching in the best possible way. And I hope that people are able – I was having this conversation the other day. It's still at the end of the day, it's only baseball. But can you have fun with this team and really enjoy what it is, you know, home runs and all that goes on with it, and make it a healthy break from your day, whatever your day is, whatever you need to get taken away from for a few hours, can you do that without letting it get to you or whatever, which is part of being a fan. But if you can do that and you can just appreciate this summer for what it is and how much fun it's been. And, you know, I was saying this the other night on the radio that I've covered this market a long time, and I can't say that I remember any season, any team where there have been just more things have happened and more drama and more late innings and more, you know, I can't remember a season, any sport, football, basketball, hockey, where there's been this much theatrics and long games and the Yankees and the Red Sox and the everything else. I don't remember one in the history that I've covered it that's had all of this in one season. And so once in a while, you just take a deep breath and say, boy, this has really been kind of a fun ride.
Yeah, it certainly has been. You know, I'm curious to know, give me your take on this from listening on WCCL Radio or maybe occasionally catching the game. If Sano's strikeouts per at-bat is considerably lower this year than previously, because it seems like he has been striking out less, and I don't know if it's you know how it stacks up per at bat.
Yeah, he since he came back the last time, and Rudy Hernandez is assistant hitting coach, he's worked with him down there. They got a tunnel right next to the locker room near the clubhouse where they can do a lot of work and a lot of key work. And you know, in this day and age of technology, you can watch your bats in between innings and get, you know, if you want to make an adjustment, although some guys will say that's not necessarily healthy, you study too much. But if he can just make some small adjustments that cut down on his strikeouts, and he cuts down his strikeouts by not swinging at the bad pitches off the outside part of the plate, who knows what his ceiling is. Because if he drives, like last night, he had a home run to right center. If he starts doing that, who knows? I've said this before. He's the only guy I've ever seen, and there might be more. But you go out to early batting practice, as I do sometimes, well before anybody's at the stadium. And when I've seen him out there working, he puts a ball on a tee on home plate and hits it out to center field, hits a home run to center field off a tee. Now, I've never seen anybody strong enough to do that ever. And, I mean, go put a tee up sometime and see how far you can hit a ball without the advantage of a pitcher providing the velocity. He can do that. That's how strong he is. And I think the best thing that's happened to him is this success that the team's had, because he's seen that, A, they don't need him all the time, which can be a humbling in a very profound and important way, because it incentivizes you. And so he wanted to be a part of the party because he realized he couldn't just step in anytime he wanted. Now he's got the responsibility. They're trying to bat him third in the lineup more. He struggled with that a little bit right off the top. And I think that's another adjustment for him, is, you know, they batted him down at the bottom of the order and let him swing away. And I think all those things turned out to be healthy for him.
Let's switch over to Vikings here. Are you concerned at all about the Vikings' backup quarterback situation?
You know, I was out there yesterday talking to the folks inside it, and I thought Mannion was a slam dunk for the number two quarterback position based on how much he's played, but they say Slaughter has a chance. But the problem is with Slaughter, big arm, and you can see what they like about him, but you're talking about a veteran team here, and would you dare put him in with a ton of responsibility right now, because he's never played in the NFL. So that's where they're at with it. They like Slaughter. Mannion's good. You know, he's, and Mannion has a really good arm too, man. You watch him after practice throw a ball and it's, you know, 60 yards on a dime. You haven't seen him enough to know how he manages the game, but you're always concerned about your backup quarterback if your starter goes down, because the chances are you've never seen them enough to know if they're good enough to do it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a ranking recently of the every backup NFL quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater was number 4 on the list. Case Keenum, again, these are all former Vikings, number 5. Down at number 13 was Trevor Siemian for the Jets. And at 25, Taylor Heinicke for the Panthers. And I think...
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
a list. And at 30, yeah, these are all former Vikings. Yeah. And at 31, Sean Manning. So,
yeah.
There might have been some that they might want to get back. So,
yeah, and you know, Keenum, obviously, he could end up being the starter there in Washington as well. They got the kid from Ohio State that they're trying to groom, but Keenum could end up being the starter there as well. But, yeah, your backup quarterback, I mean, all you got to do is look at Case Keenum in that magical year as to how important that position is. But when he came here, I don't think anybody at that time had aspirations that he would do what he did, Keenum meaning.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, if you have a really good defense, the Vikings did that year, oh man, it's a lot easier to be a quarterback.
Hey, well, you know, yes, indeed. You have a great day. Who have you got lined up special for the sports huddle? Anybody yet?
Sid Hartman.
Okay, good. We'll tune in for it. Maxie, you have a great, I'll chat with you again on Monday morning.
Okay, thanks, John. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.